Amen. It's good to see everybody out to the home group meeting tonight, and I'd just like to thank everybody for coming out, because I know that you could have gone somewhere else. You could have chose to do something different, but you chose to come out and honor God and honor us, and we just thank you very much for coming out to the home group meeting. What I like to do, I like to share part three of All Things Are Out From God. And for sure, one thing, if you walk with the Lord and you call yourself a Christian, then everything that we do in our life must be out from God. And so that's kind of like the main theme of what I've been sharing the last two parts. And if you never heard parts one and two, just contact me and I will go ahead and I can get parts one and two out to you. Amen. But as we always do, we kind of look at what we talked about last month, or for me, it would be the last time that I spoke. And we had Brother Antonio did an outstanding job last time. And so the last time I spoke, we've been looking at the new birth. And so who has 2 Corinthians 5:17? 2 Corinthians.
Yes, I do. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new.
Amen. Now, that is one of, to me, and to a lot of other people, 2 Corinthians 5:17, as Brother Paul here, this is one of the most important verses in the Bible. Because if you do not believe that, I'm glad you're sitting down, then you're not saved. You're not saved. If you do not believe that verse, then you are not saved. Because that verse there encompasses three spiritual elements. One is called regeneration, to be saved. It talks about justification, the imputed justification that Christ, God gives to us because of our relationship in Christ. And then it talks about that sanctification process. Now, listen, we must believe only this. This is what the Bible talks about, the New Testament, that new covenant. This is the way you are saved according to the Bible. There's no other way you can be saved according to the Bible than to believe this verse. And you can't mix Judaism, and you can't mix this religion or that religion and all that good stuff to be saved. We must believe 2 Corinthians 5:17, what happens. And what happens is our spirit is bonded, it's cemented with the spirit of Christ. That's why we're saved. Not because of good works or all the good things that we want to do and, all the stuff that we believe. Oh, no. But we are saved when our spirit, your spirit and my spirit, is cemented, is bonded with Christ, while we become one with Christ. Then we are saved. We are regenerated. That justification, Christ imputes righteousness to us, even though we may not be a righteous person at that time. But that's okay. There's that process of sanctification that begins to work in our life. With the main goal of God is to have Christ formed in us. Who has Galatians 4:19?
My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you.
Wow. Until Christ be formed in us. That is God's goal in our life. It's not to make us rich and beautiful and handsome and prosperous and all that stuff. No, no, no. God's main goal in our life is to form His Son in us. Not conform us. There's a difference there. But to actually form His Son in us. Amen. Now the last time I spoke, we looked at the two natures in us, and the separation of the soul from the spirit. Now in our soul is where our carnal man is. In our soul is where sin dwells in us, and all of these things. That is the redemption of our soul, and our spirit is where Christ dwells. And so there are two. We have two natures in us. We have that sinful nature, the Adamic nature, in our soul. But in our spirit is where Christ is with us. And in our spirit, if we are saved, then what happens is the spirit of Christ is bonded, cemented with our spirit. Wow. And believe it or not, this makes up what is called the free will. You hear, well, everybody has a free will. You know, because if I was God, I wouldn't give man a free will. I wouldn't let you choose. I would say, look, once you give your heart to me, that's it, you know. But no, God loves us so much that he gives us a free will. And because of that soul and spirit, then that soul, that soulish man can go after the world, can go after things. Because God wants us to worship him solely for who he is. And so that's where that free will is. Flesh can only birth flesh. Let me say that again. Flesh can only birth flesh. Who has John 3 and 6? John 3, 6.
I do.
Thank you, Susan.
Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to spirit.
Wow, how about that? Flesh can only breed flesh. Flesh can only do fleshly things. But the end of that verse says that the spirit breeds spirit. Spirit, flesh to flesh, but spirit to spirit. Wow. But flesh can only birth flesh. But if Christ is in us, then all that is in Christ, in that spirit that is bonded to us, that is cemented to us, all that is in that spirit, Christ, is then in us. And that is out from God. Wow. Because, you know, there's a struggle. There's a battle going on that must be defeated. Now, I underscore that word must. It must be defeated in God. We must defeat that nature, that Adamic nature, that sinful nature in us. We must defeat that. And we can't do it by ourselves. But the more we lend toward the Spirit, the more the Spirit of God is working in our life, then we'll be able to defeat that. The only way to come into victory is to abide in Christ. Wow. Again, John 15. I am the vine, you are the branches. Yeah. Is abiding in Christ by coming to see. Now here we go. This is what we're talking about tonight. The necessity of the cross in our life. The necessity of the cross in our life. Now, I'll be honest. Not too many Christians want to embrace the suffering of the cross. There's suffering associated with the cross, but also there is glory associated with the cross. Most Christians never get to the glory of the cross because they do not want to identify with the suffering of the cross. Well, there's a spiritual principle, and it's called death before glorification. When Jesus was going into Jerusalem before he was crucified, he said that now is the time that the Father is going to glorify me. And all the disciples says, yes, pray, yeah, God is going, we're going to be glorified. And Jesus said to the disciples, no, I'm going to go die. I'm going to be crucified. I've told you that so many times because it's a spiritual principle. Death before glorification. And so true in our life, that spiritual principle. We must die to ourselves. And of course, the cross is the perfect tool to kill us on. Amen? So let's go ahead and let's get into part three, is all things out from God. Amen?
Amen.
And what I'll be sharing about will be the necessity of the cross. You know, the cross often today is worn around a lot of necks. You see a lot of people wearing a cross, you know. Well, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about that piece, that ornament. And in a lot of cases, that just becomes idolatry. Amen? When you wear a cross, it becomes idolatry. And then you have some religions where Christ is on the cross and some not on the cross. But that's not the cross that I'm talking about. Amen? The cross, and the cross is not merely a thing in which to believe. Oh, no. Neither is death of Jesus merely an historical event in which to rest our faith on. Of course, without the historical event of Christ on the cross, nothing else would be possible. So if Jesus did not go and die on the cross, nothing in God would be possible. Salvation wouldn't be possible. Healings, miracles, none of that stuff really would be possible. But our faith is not to be in the cross. Oh, our faith is not to be in the cross, but our faith is to be in the one that who died on the cross.
Right.
Our faith is to be in Christ Jesus. There's a lot of ministries out there, big ministries, and it's the cross, the cross, the cross, and they're focusing on, no, they got it wrong. You know, half right, you know, it's focus on the one who died upon the cross. Our faith is to be in Christ, the living Christ in whom we are one in spirit with. 2 Corinthians 5:17, that our spirit is joined with Christ. Wow. And if it's then we are planted into his death, and then we will be, you know, also that we will be raised in his resurrection. You know, we hear this term, the new covenant, a lot. Well, if you really look at the covenant in the Old Testament, God only made one real covenant with man, and that was the Abrahamic covenant, and it was verified, verified 5 or 6 times through history. But Paul uses that analogy of the old covenant, and he makes that, and he uses the new covenant. Who has Hebrews 12:24?
I do.
Okay.
And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel.
Amen. Other than Jesus, Paul, I think through the scriptures, does the best job using examples and analogies to make spiritual points. And so what Paul was talking about here, he was saying that Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant. Yes. Now, God did not make a covenant with man as he did with Abraham. He did something better. He sent his son to die on a cross for man. That's better than an Abrahamic covenant. But Paul was using the analogy there, and he says that Christ, Jesus, because he died on that cross, is the mediator of the new covenant. So that makes Jesus the new covenant. Christ in us, hope of glory. Now that word mediator here means the go-between. Jesus is the go-between. He's the mediator. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, ever making intercession for us. Wow. He's the reconciler. Jesus is the reconciler, and that's what the word, you know, that's what the word mediator means. It means a go-between or a reconciler. Amen. Now, we will be crucified with Christ because we are one with the one who was crucified for us. We will be raised with Christ because we are one, one with he who was raised for us. We will be seated in heavenly places with Christ because he is seated in heavenly places. And we are joined to him. So everything in Christ is in us because his spirit and our spirit is cemented together. Cannot be separated. People talk about the sealing. Well, we can go ahead and get it. You know, we can walk away from the Lord. But as long as we have that relationship with the Lord, nothing can take us out of the hand of God. As long as we have that walk with him. Thus, the object of our faith is the person of Jesus Christ. Right now, the very Christ who dwells in us. For if we are planted into Christ by faith, abiding in him, then we will likewise be planted into all that he has done and all that is in him. Now, I don't know about you, but that kind of gets me excited to know that all that is in Christ is now all is in me. Maybe that's why he could say, you will do greater things than I. Wow. Jesus says that we can do greater things. Well, why? Because he is in us. And he gives us the power. He gives us this Holy Spirit. Wow, we can do greater things. Not that we're greater than Christ. Oh, no. Never, 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 no, never. But we can do greater things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen? Now, who has 1 Corinthians 6 and 7? I'm sorry, 6:17.
I get that.
Okay.
I put it on my phone so I can make it bigger. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him.
Amen. Thank you. That's Brother Paul saying that. So Brother Paul is reiterating here that whoever is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Wow. Who has Romans 6:3? Romans 6:3.
I think I got that.
Okay.
Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?
Amen. Wow. So we weren't baptized into the life of Christ, believe it or not. We were baptized into the death of Christ. Right? We were baptized into his death. And because we are baptized into his death, then there will be a resurrection. A resurrection. Only dead people are resurrected. Wow. Only dead people are resurrected. So we're baptized into the death of Christ, and then we are raised in the newness of life.
Amen.
Wow. Romans 6, I think that's probably 6:3, amen. Now, there's a thought I want to go ahead and continue on here. And this death changes relationships.
Amen.
Let me say that again. Death changes relationships. When we went up for the for the celebration of life for Sharon, we went out to this fancy schmancy restaurant, and this was one of Sharon's favorite restaurants. And so there was what, 25 of us, maybe about 25. It was everybody that was there. It was about 25 of us. We had a big long table, and my brother sat at the head, and he just sat there and cried the entire time. But anyways, it was. I sat right by him, and we cried together. But anyways, it was good. And I was noticing the relationships, because Barbara, Sharon's older sister, and Clarence, her husband, and Randy was there. And now that Sharon was gone, the relationships changed. Their relationship, they're still friends and all that good stuff. But now Sharon was kind of like that glue that, made that relationship happen. And as I was sitting there, I was thinking about that, and the Lord brought me to this verse, and I want to go ahead and I want to share it tonight with us. And so if you have your Bibles, let's go ahead and go to Romans 7. And it talks about how we are buried or we die in Christ so that we can have that, you know, that newness of life. And so here Brother Paul shares this, and this is what I was thinking about when I was with my brother John. Chapter 7 of Romans 2, it says, "For the woman which has a husband is bound by the law to her husband, so long as he is liveth. But if the husband be dead, then she is loose from the law of her husband." So when we come into the world, we are bound by the law, our sin in us. Verse 3, "And so then, while her husband liveth, she is married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress." So in other words, if she is under the law and she is looking to get out from that or serve another, then she will be an adulteress. So what Paul is saying to the church at Rome is, when we die to Christ, we are free to live in Christ. When we die in Christ, that relationship to the law is broken. It's broken. We don't have a relationship with him anymore.
Amen.
Now we're free. Right. We're free to serve Christ. We're free to serve Christ. It says, "But if her husband be dead, the law is dead in us, then she is free for that law, so that she now is no longer an adulteress, though she may marry to another man." And I like verse number 4. "Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, through Christ, and ye shall be married to another, even unto him who is raised from the dead." So when we, when we come into Christ, then we are dead to sin. We are dead to the law. And so now we can marry Christ. Wow. "That we should bring forth much fruit in God." Boy, what a powerful truth. And I was sitting there and I was you know, the Lord brought this verse to my mind. And you know, how true it is. When we become a Christian, then, you know, we're dead to sin. And now we're able to marry Christ. We're able to get married again. We're not an adulteress. We're not going both ways. You know, not dead. Now we're alive in Christ. Man, powerful. Mm-hmm. Note that the distinction between having received all in Christ and having experienced Christ. Let me say that again. There's a difference between received all in Christ and have experienced Christ. Despite the finished of the reality found in Christ and having received, and that is in Him, it is nevertheless the fact that when Christ joins us to Himself, we have just begun. But this is why, even though in Christ we are complete, amen? When we are in Christ and Christ is in us, because Christ is perfect, believe it or not, our spirit is perfect. But now that other side, that natural man, our flesh, you know, that is still out there. That is, we have all that God has to give us in that perfection. And this is why the purpose of God must be to now unfold the Christ to us and bring into our experience all that is in Him. Wow. All that is in Him. But it is one thing to have all things in Christ, and it is another to actually come to learn and know and see and experience all these things that are in Christ. Wow, let me say that again. It's actually, you know, it's another to actually come to learn and know and see and experience all of these things that are in Christ. Well, unless we have a desire for God to unfold Christ to us, we'll never learn anything. We'll never come to see, and we'll never ever experience Christ and all of these things that are in Christ. You know, Israel was given the land before they ever set foot in it. God gave the promised land to Israel. He said, wherever you put your foot, it's going to be yours. Everything is yours. But they still needed to enter in and possess all that God had already given to them. Amen?
Amen.
God gave them the land from the river to the sea. Hey, from the river to the sea, God gave them all of that land. But they had to put their feet in there and get busy to get it. Amen? And that 40 years of Exodus, when they left Goshen, they defeated seven nations. Seven nations. They defeated seven nations. The 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. The first year after they got into the promised land, they defeated 31 nations. Wow. 31. It's in the Bible that 31 nations, if you count them, they had to defeat 31 nations. Wow. Well, you know, what were they doing in the wilderness? Brother Delmar, they were learning how to fight. They were learning how to fight. So when they got into the promised land, then they could possess the land from the river to the sea. That's what they were doing. They were in the wilderness and they were learning, and, you know, they were seeing and they were experiencing Christ. Now, here's where the conflict begins. When we encounter problems in life, problems that demand solutions and resources and wisdom, you know, how do we respond? God says to abide in Christ. You know, it's always good to do, Susan, what God says to do. Amen? It's always good to do what God says to do in His Word and His Spirit. God will speak to us two ways, through His Word, through the Bible, and God will speak to our spirit. Amen? Now, I don't know about you, Miss Betty, but I have never heard God's audible voice.
I have.
Have you? Wow.
My God, it was unpowerful.
Wow.
I've come off the bed that high, and it's like somebody put a whole bucket of oil, went right through me.
Wow.
I couldn't speak.
Wow, yeah.
When my brother died.
Yeah.
We've been fasting 40 days.
Wow. I have never heard, you know, but I mean, I know He speaks, but God speaks to us through His Word and through our spirit, you know? Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
Let's see. But, unfortunately, we do not easily abide in Christ, do we? Rather, we draw upon ourselves or upon something of this world, and most of us don't even realize what we are doing. Most Christians today do not realize that they're not drawing on Christ, they're drawing out of their natural man. They're drawing on their natural ability, amen? We barely often know the difference. And remember John 15:5, I am the vine, ye are the branches, and hey branches, you can do nothing without me. The only way in which people in whom Christ dwells is ever going to learn the truth of abiding in Christ is if the work of the cross has God's way in them. So the way that we come to learn how to abide in Christ is by allowing the work of the cross, not the cross itself, but the work of death to self, and what we read in Romans, you know, being buried, you know, in Christ and raised in newness of life. Paul said in Philippians, I think it was 3:14, oh, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Well, we will never know the power of his resurrection unless we die. Amen? In order for God to have his way with us, we must pick up our cross and lose our life. As Jesus said in Matthew 16:24. So who has Matthew 16:24 and 25?
I do.
Ooh.
Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it.
Who wants to find the life of Christ? Everybody should have their hand raised. Well, the condition for finding the life of Christ is not working, it's not singing, praying, teaching. It's losing your life.
Yes.
That's what Jesus just said. When we lose our life for his sake, and that's not a physical martyrdom. No, no, no. That is us being setting ourselves aside. When that happens, when we lose our life, then we're going to find our life. Because if we desire to keep our life in this world, we're going to lose it forever. Wow. We're going to lose it forever. Tremendous, tremendous verse. Now, not too many people in church want to go ahead and preach this message, you know, out of Matthew 16:24 and 25. But this is the message of the New Testament. This is the message of the New Testament. We must fall into the ground and die. Unless a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die. John 12:24. You know, unless a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, wow, there will be no fruitfulness in God. Fruitfulness in God comes out of death, even unto death. Wow. The admonition to pick up our cross shows that we have to choose to yield to God. This is a choice that we must make. Daily, daily we must choose to yield to God. But this yielding is not so much a matter of figuring out what to do. It is a matter of saying to God, now listen, I don't know if you've ever made this prayer. Lord, do in my life whatever it takes to bring me into the fullness of Christ. Have you ever made that prayer? That word, whatsoever. Wow, that's a loaded word. Brother Delmar, what do you think? Whatsoever, whatever it's going to take. Whatever you have to do, Ted, wow. Whatever it's going to take for you to be able to, for me to be able to see Christ, do whatever it takes, wow, to bring me into the fullness of Christ. Do whatever it takes through the cross that I will pick up to bring to me where I realize that Christ and then be able to abide in him. God has to do this work. We can't do that. And the first step, you ready, is death to our old man, to the old self. We must choose that. We must choose that. But we have to pick up the cross and we have to embrace him. Amen? The work of the cross will bring us into the place where we are absolutely and joyfully convinced that there is nothing good in us. Wow, nothing good in us. Nothing outside of you know, our natural makeup that carries life. So the work of the cross, the result of the work of the cross in our life will be, we will see that there is nothing good in us. And the outcome of that will be, you ready? Freedom in God is only found in total abandonment of ourself. So the result is we see there's nothing good in us, and the outcome of the work of the cross is total abandonment of ourself, our self-life, our selfish nature, ourself, and all of these things in us. We will see by experience that no source, resource found in natural man can enable us to walk with God. We know this to the point where we voluntarily desire to see the death of all that we are in Adam, so that we might come into the fullness of Christ. Can we honestly say that we do not want to draw upon ourselves for life, and that we, you know, we aren't going to even try? Well, we probably won't come to this place without some hard but necessary lessons. But we must come into this place in order to be free in Christ. I will tell you, the more God works on you, the more you have this desire to come to the fullness of Christ, the more you have a desire for God, I will promise you, God will begin to work in your life through His dealings and His judgments about you. And He will work in you, and He will work in you. And those experiences will only leave you at the foot of the Lord. You will see Him high and lifted up. Amen. Most people in Christ spend years trying to live the Christian life by drawing from their natural man. That's true. Most Christians spend their entire life trying to live from their natural man. We still think that God wants to salvage something from us and bring us into this new creation. No, Paul says we are a new creation. Whatever in us is dead, that natural man, you know, God wants to kill that. You know, it's dead. We still think that Christ died to bring our latent greatness, or to enhance the good things in us, or to fix up the old man and make it fit for God's use. No, God's not trying to do that. God wants to kill our flesh. He wants to kill that old man. We want to keep it alive when we want to go after the world and do all of these things. But God wants to kill that old man. No. Jesus Christ came to die so that the Adam life could die in Him, in Christ. And if anyone is in Christ, and he is not an old fixed up creature, you know, creature, oh no. He is a new creation, as Brother Howard read. And all of that newness is out from God. Here's a statistic that I find very alarming. It's just not me, but it says that 70 to 80% of most Christians in the church today, 70 to 80% Christians in the church today live out from their natural, out of their natural man's effort.
Sounds a little low, actually.
70 to 80% of most Christians in churches, they don't live in the new life that Christ has for us. They live in trying to experience God out of their flesh, and that will never work. Most Christians have never experienced the new life of God because they are still trying to serve God with their flesh. It is essential that we see that Christ is all for the believer. But we will never see that He is our all until we at least begin to see that we are nothing. This is the truth we must see. And any other basis for living is deception. It's deception. This is the gospel truth of the gospel. Who has 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4?
I got it.
Okay, 1 Corinthians, last verse.
Okay, now I borrowed this young lady's Bible over here, and it happens to have stars by both of these.
Okay.
I don't know what stars mean, but there's stars by both of them. Very few stars in the thing. So, for I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures.
Amen. Thank you, Greg. That is the gospel. The death, the burial, and the resurrection. That is the gospel truth. That and that alone is the only thing in this world that's going to save you. When you believe that, when you believe that Jesus died, that he arose, as the scripture said, you know, that it was buried and he arose, that is the message of the Bible. That is what saves us. And then, you know, when you mix that, you know, as we said with that in 2 Corinthians 5:17, that we are joined together, we are one spirit with Christ. Wow, that's the message. Anything else? Anything that you add to that, anything you take away from that, anything you mix into that is deception, and I'm sadly here to tell you, you're not saved. Wow, I've said this on the radio for I don't know how many weeks and months. And I get some, you know, some pushback, but I don't care. The Bible is very, very clear about that. You know, we must allow God to take us through some uncomfortable things in our lives. Can I get an amen there?
Amen.
To show us, to teach us, to mold us, to make us, so that we can truly come to depend on Christ and live out from him. We too must die, not for the forgiveness of our sins, no, only Jesus can do that, but be crucified with Christ. Amen? We're crucified with Christ, where we too will have a resurrection just like Christ. So if you are not buried with Christ in death, then guess what? According to Paul, there is no resurrection life. There's no chance for an afterlife. You know, well, that's not true. You will live not with God, but you will live in hell for a while, then you go to the lake of fire, according to Revelations. But for us to be able to, you know, experience that resurrection life, we must be buried in death with Christ. Amen.